Well, I am Craig Floss, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Iowa Corn Growers Association and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board, and a very proud sponsor of the Iowa Corn Indy 250 presented by Pioneer. As Tony mentioned, this is the second running of the Iowa Corn Indy 250, and we're very excited to be back. As you can see, it's a great venue to watch what is the premier racing event here in the Midwest. Talking about ethanol, talking about corn prices, talking about some of the things that Mother Nature has sent our way this year, yesterday had the opportunity to fly with Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge and Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey and other representatives from the agricultural industry. There were about 11 of us total, including General Dardis, who runs our National Guard and all of our emergency management response folks here in state. We did a tour from leaving from Des Moines and heading north towards Mason City, where the first of the flooding began, and then followed the various river sheds to the south through Charles City, Waverly, Waterloo, Cedar Falls. Stopped in Cedar Rapids for a brief press conference, and of course Cedar Rapids is one of the biggest metro areas that were really devastated in their downtown area by the flooding. Most of the water there receded. We lifted off from Cedar Rapids and went on south to Iowa City, and then down the Iowa and Cedar River watersheds with unbelievable amounts of water still present. I really wasn't personally prepared to see what I saw there. I mean, just rivers where they weren't supposed to be, lakes, literally lakes where they weren't supposed to be, the tops of grain bins, for example. It's all you could see on farmsteads. But let me put it in perspective for you. I mean, certainly our hearts and prayers go out to those people who've been impacted. But as I was flying over, there's a tremendous amount of ground that does not lie directly in those bottom grounds. And in fact, the USDA statistics that were out at the beginning of this last week, and there'll be another report that comes out now this next Monday where they're doing all the surveying, they're telling us that still 57% of the crop looks good to excellent in Iowa, and I certainly saw fields like that. We are behind. Clearly from the air, it's very apparent that for the yesterday being the 20th of June, we should be much further along than what we were. But nevertheless, a lot of field work being done, a lot of spraying being done. What that tells me is, and also a lot of replant, I guess I should say, what that tells me is that it's early in the growing season and we have an opportunity here to be able to produce a very, very decent crop. You know, to most people, a field today looks much like it would have looked 10 or 15 or even 20 years ago. But from a farmer's perspective, it really is an amazing mix of improved technology and hybrids that help the corn grower do what they do best, which is to produce corn. So from seed technology to better monitoring, better equipment, precision management, our growers are more capable than ever of maximizing our state's productive capacity, even in conditions that are less than ideal. Now, corn prices have been kind of going up and down long before even the flood set in. And it can't really be tied to any one factor because there's so many things globally that's affecting our corn price. Clearly things like a weak dollar, which makes our exports look extremely attractive. We have China and India with insatiable food and fuel demands. And most importantly, I guess I would say the biggest factor for all of us that are affecting prices is the high cost of energy. 18 months ago, a barrel of oil was $50. I don't have to tell any of you where it is today in just a short 18-month period of time. We're now at 140 plus, and that affects everything that we do in the food production process. So for those who want to try to blame corn alone, they're missing the biggest part of the story. And the biggest part of the story is as consumers and as processors and as farmers, it is the energy costs that are driving everything higher. In fact, food inflation, per the latest numbers that I had seen, we're running about 4.5% year to date, 4.5%. Now, that's higher than what we certainly would like it. But factor the corn price out, at least the high price of corn, food inflation would still be 4.25%. That's a quarter percent that corn prices are impacting. All right? So I could extrapolate it a different way and say that we're maybe 5% of the issue, but we're getting 100% of the blame. So we're doing everything we can to tell the story that, yes, corn prices affect food prices, but certainly not to the extent that the folks out there want us to believe. You're here in the race right now. It's an exciting weekend for us. It's a great opportunity for us to promote the power and performance of ethanol with these cars running on 100% fuel-grade ethanol. The drivers love this stuff, and you guys who are in here have talked to the drivers. They'll tell you they love the performance. They like the fact they can use less of the fuel. Great little factoid I'll throw out. How many bushels of corn does it take to go around 250 laps tomorrow? 17.4 bushels. That's it. 17.4 bushels of corn gets an Indy car around this track. That's pretty cool when you think about it, that we can do that right from our cornfields. So with that, I guess I want to end these prepared comments with just this. Iowa farmers have always produced a safe and abundant food supply. We've never not produced to meet the market. And I'm convinced that this year that we'll continue to do everything we can to make sure we do that again. So with that, I guess turn it over to Mike.